listening to a podcast made in collaboration with the Copenhagen College Radio.
Hey allihopa. That's Swedish for hello everyone. And welcome to episode 3 of the Social Media and Politics Podcast, aiming to bring you expert insights into how social media is changing the political game. I'm your host, Michael Becetta, PhD student at the University of Copenhagen. Thanks for joining us, and if you like what you hear, tell a friend, tell a colleague, and keep up to date with all the latest episodes by following us on Twitter at SMNP Podcast or on Facebook by typing Social Media and Politics in the search box. All right. For this episode, I'm out of the studio and, rather appropriately, in the city of Malmö, Sweden. Now, if you've read or seen The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, you've probably heard of Malmö. If you haven't, let me fill you in. Malmö is Sweden's third largest city, located all the way down at the southern tip of Sweden, and just 35 minutes by train to Denmark's capital city of Copenhagen. Or at least, that's how it used to be. In November 2015, after taking in over 150,000 refugees from the Syrian war, the Swedish government decided to unilaterally impose border controls to stem the influx of migrants into Sweden. For EU officials, the move was interpreted as a direct violation of the Schengen Agreement, which guarantees the free movement of people across member state borders. For Swedes across the country, the border controls were seen as a national embarrassment and a stark reversal of the country's famous open-arms policy towards immigrants. But more practically, for the 15,000 Swedes that commute daily between Sweden and Denmark, the border controls are a huge headache. Instead of a seamless 35-minute train ride between the two countries, Swedish commuters coming home from Denmark need to change trains at the Copenhagen airport, show a national ID or passport in order to continue their journey, and then show their IDs once more when in Sweden to gain access into the country. Missed trains, delayed trains, longer journeys, and forgotten IDs all lead to the frustration of daily commuters. That's when a trio of local Swedish politicians decided to do something about it. They created and curate a Facebook page called Öresundsrevolutionen, named after the Öresund region, which comprises the greater metropolitan area surrounding both Malmö and Copenhagen. According to them, politicians in Stockholm unfairly impose the border controls on southern Sweden, since Stockholm is not representative of other parts of the country. The southern Sweden region of Skåne used to be part of Denmark up until the late 17th century, and still today, Swedes in Skåne share a similar dialect and culture to the Danes, perhaps more so than the posh residents of Stockholm. The flag of Skåne, bearing a red background with a yellow Nordic cross, is even a hybrid of the two countries' flags. The Öresundsrevolution Facebook page, and I'm using the English translation here for my own sake, has just shy of 24,000 likes and regularly posts content condemning the border controls and calling for the Swedish government to end them. Joining me today to talk more about Öresundsrevolution and its social media use is Niels Paarup-Petersen, a Swedish entrepreneur and a regional politician for the Center Party, a Swedish Green Liberal Party, in Skåne. Niels is one of the three politicians behind Öresundsrevolution, and to know more about him, you can visit his website at niels.se, that's N-I-E-L-S.se, or follow him on Twitter at Niels Paarup, P-A-A-R-U-P. I took the train over to Malmö, showing my ID on the way, and caught up with Niels to talk about Öresundsrevolution and its Facebook use. Niels, thanks for your time, and welcome to the Social Media and Politics Podcast.
Thanks. What a great introduction.
So did I have it right in the introduction? What is Öresundsrevolution about, and why did you decide to get involved?
Öresundsrevolutionen. Yeah. It's called in Swedish. I don't expect that.
Yeah.
I'm impressed, actually. Well, it's about two things, basically. And I think you took them in very good in your introduction. Is that, one, the ID controls that were imposed without thought or actually examining the consequences in November and December. And then about a greater Stockholm perspective. I think most countries have this thing about like capitals or great cities. So like creating the agenda for the societal debate, etc. And so like the perspective of how decisions should be made and what is important. And in Sweden, it's like Sweden has always been the strongest central state in Europe, perhaps in the world. And it's been since Gustav Vasa, like, old king in Sweden that actually created Sweden, you might say. Before that, there was no Sweden. He fought the Danes, and he's the reason why Sweden exists as it does today, more or less. And he sort of centralized all power to him in Stockholm. Mm-hmm. Before that, it was very sort of like spread out across the country. And ever since then, and then there's been a social democratic country where the state has had a large part in creating power and solutions for the entirety of Sweden, meaning that both the political, the economical, and the medial power is based in Stockholm. In the US, for instance, you'll see financial power and political power is separated in different cities. And that does make a lot of difference when all these three perspectives are collected in the same. And CNN was the biggest one. They were in Atlanta. Washington was the political power, and perhaps LA and New York were the financial centers or like new business centers. You had different centers, which means that you get more perspectives, whereas in Sweden it's just one center. And that creates a lot of problem in a country that is rather long and
How long is it from Stockholm to Malmö?
600 kilometers plus. And you say, and that's just, I mean, Stockholm is still in the southern part of Sweden. If you took from Malmö, it's like put a pin into Malmö and you spun around the entirety of Sweden and put it the other way down, then you would be below Rome. So it's like Sweden is long, is just as long as the entire center
European. Continent, yeah.
And that means that those long distances and very different cultures, both with the people and financially and economically, based on different industries, etc., means that it's very hard to make decisions one place that is valid for all. But still, you've had a very centralized power that has created a lot of tensions over time, of course. Especially now, when they sort of like close our border, and we and many others were very both upset with the decision to close our border to Denmark, which means that it is like, I don't know, where are you from?
New Orleans.
New Orleans. You have an airport.
Yes.
Yes. If the road and the transportation to that airport was closed off, so you had to show your IDs and you had to wait an extra half hour to get there, and it was also the only way to get to a large part of the job market, I think you'd be upset about that.
Absolutely.
And if someone just did it without asking you, if like Washington did that without even asking you, just saying that's how it's supposed to be, because we have another problem, it's not about you, it's about something else, but you shouldn't be, your problems are not relevant. Because that's basically what happened. They took that decision in 2 days. And all the authorities, etc., in Skåne, where we are placed now, were not asked what the consequences would be. And so nobody cared. And that made us quite angry, and many other people as well. And at the same time, as I said, they closed the way to our big airport in Copenhagen, because that's our airport. That's how we get out into the world. And they sort of like talked about how important it was for Sweden to have more runways in the big airport in Stockholm, because that was important for all of Sweden, but in reality it's just important for Stockholm. Mm-hmm. But that, once again, is the Stockholm's perspective that we are like fighting against. So these things happen at the same time, and we're like, this got to stop. They have to understand that there are more perspectives to the world than just what they see in their small circles. So we created this page, and in 2 weeks it was up to 25,000 more or less. I think we have 28 now or something like that. So it went very fast, and then we had some visits with the Minister of Infrastructure, etc., to sort of like get the perspectives of the region into their heads as well, and we sort of like pressed them. And I know from people in Stockholm that we've changed the perspectives, but the border controls are still there.
Mm-hmm. And so why did you turn to social media to communicate your message, and what does that mean for the movement?
It's very important. In the old days when you wanted to demonstrate, you took a torch and, you know, you went to the square in the city, or you went up to the church or wherever the power was concentrated. In Sweden, that's called a fackla. So before it was a fackla, now it's Facebook. So the instruments of showing your contempt or your frustration or your solutions has changed from physical to digital, as much of our world has. And of course, we as a political movement has to take that change as well. And we've pushed that as well. We were nominated as the best digital opinion maker in Sweden. And the reason we did it is there are many purposes. And I think it's important to say that you cannot just have digital. If you really want to be have great success, it's good to connect it to the physical part as well. So you do not, like, you don't forget the people side, because there are still a lot more power in the direct contact with people.
Absolutely.
So talking to a minister on top of the campaign, of course, is important. But we would never have talked to the minister if we didn't have Facebook. So you have to sort of like separate the different roles. And as in all communications, it's about strategies. What do you want to achieve? How can you do it? And who is the target group? And if we were to do demonstrations, it's a lot of work. Permits, you have to connect, you have to get people to get there, etc. Mm-hmm. And you would only get the absolutely most enthusiastic. The most enthusiastic, exactly. That's the only people you'd get there. Whereas in Facebook, it's easier to get in on a task or mm-hmm. a course, as Facebook is calling it. And that means that you can create a following, mm-hmm. which means that your message will get out to more people.
Right. So not just the hardcore activists, but
exactly.
a sort of broader general public.
Exactly. And they can spread your messages much more easily. So we have gained a lot of traction that way, but we haven't just on that. We've blocked the parliament. For instance, we took some security tape. When the police has to fence off an area, so we took that and took it around a bridge to the Riksdag mm-hmm, in Sweden, mm-hmm. and
in Stockholm,
exactly, just to show you took our bridge, we'll take yours, more or less. But we are kind revolutionaries, so we don't create real problems. We've always said from the beginning that we would not create real problems for real people, because they haven't done us anything, and we also speak in a sarcastic and kind of funny tone, but never degrading mm-hmm. To anyone, because that would steer away from our mission. So as in all other communication, we know what we want to obtain, we know who the target is, and we know who the channels, and we know how to our value base and our messages. We have that as a basis of it, and then we chose the right channels, and that is the social media in this case.
Uh-huh. I'm mostly familiar with the Facebook page, but are you on other platforms as well?
We are on Twitter as well, but that is basically just so it's possible to put the relevant people's handle on it, so we can actually tag them directly. You can't do that on Facebook. Well, on Twitter you can put in the infrastructure minister's mm-hmm. Twitter handle.
So primarily communicating with media and political elites.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So that's when we have something, sometimes we've at the Expressen is the big one of the big news medias. Mm-hmm. So we put it in there so we know that they'll see it, because the press message is sending out messages through the email is extinct now. And we'll call them, of course. When we blocked off the parliament, I took a lot of pictures and I sent them to Expressen and said, hey, I think you should write about this. So we use other channels as well, of course.
Mm-hmm. And you were talking about, and going back to Facebook, you were talking about reaching a broader public and using Facebook to target your audience. Do you use Facebook analytics or any of the page metrics that come with having a public page to reach an audience? Do you boost posts, for example?
We have done it once or something like that. And I think we'll do that now in a few days, because right now we are trying to litigate against the government mm. And to make sure that that we need the people following us to take certain steps and sign some papers to make sure to remind them. We'll probably do that. But otherwise, we haven't done it a lot. But we have been looking at the analytics, and we've also seen that what kind of posts that creates engagement, etc., and which posts are spread, etc. But it's not really evenly, it's not a very, very clear signal, really. It's both times, of course, when you do it, but it's also about things that can get people angry gets more likes and more comments, etc. So, of course, we try sometimes just to keep it boiling. We will incinerate. So we'll take messages that could be interpreted neutral mm-hmm. and say spin them into being negative.
Okay. So purposely putting a negative spin on your messages to drive engagement.
Yeah.
I don't think you're the only people doing
that. I'm not. But the thing is that we will never do it against people. Mm-hmm. So it's against a perspective. So today, we have this... It's strange. It's Swedish systems, But we have this the government has an official representative in all parts of Sweden. It's a super mayor. Mm-hmm. And we have a new one in Skåne today appointed. She's from another part of Sweden. and not from here, so mm-hmm. she doesn't know the area.
Right.
So she's appointed from Stockholm, and she's coming from another part of Sweden, that is Gothenburg, the same city that our infrastructure minister, who fucked up this bit about the infrastructure connected society, comes from. So they've run that city together,
uh-huh.
and now she's appointed head of our region. Mm-hmm. So we take that news, which is just news, and we say, oh, so Stockholm is appointing a person to run us that does not come from this area. And, oh yeah, it went so well when her colleague had to have our perspectives, didn't it? So it's not really evil or anything, just that we saw like, oh, once again.
Right. Right.
They've done it again.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of thing, but sort of like nicer then, of course, just because that was today. But sometimes it's very clear. Sometimes it's just stupidity, you know. One, there was a bridge in Stockholm that was cut off because of an accident, and the minister was there in an hour. It took her 14 days to come here. So that kind of news, of course, has big consequences. We have a lot of followers who like to retweet or share that on Facebook, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a big difference in that kind of news. But otherwise, it's what we've seen that is very interesting when we look at the analytics is our page compared to the political parties, because we've looked at that, and because we have registered as a political page. So since we have that many followers, we are one of the few political pages who have that amount. So we have more followers than many of the national parties in Sweden, and we have more engagement as well. And we've been comparing to those so if we look at them, the ones that have a lot of engagement, they are also, we have a feminist party. They're not in the government, but they're in some municipalities. They have a lot of engagement as well. And that's because they're one issue as well. Whereas the parties that have many issues, they're so diverse that they are not capable of getting a stringent following.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be worth thinking about, that if you really want to reach out on social media, you need to niche your message and your following. So it's better to have perhaps, if you have many political messages, perhaps it could be an idea to sort of like separate them in different accounts and get a very strict following that really cares about those, so you know that they'll actually see it. Because as you know, when you sort of like, if you have 20,000 followers and they are interested in 10 different issues, you'll never know who to cater to.
Right.
Not as easily. You can still use different metrics for that, but it's not as easy as just knowing, okay, so I have this about agriculture. Okay, I'll use it in the agricultural part of our Facebook segment. That would be probably easier to get more engagement.
Gotcha. And then kind of going on that, I think one of the most interesting things for me about your page is that it's opened up a new narrative about the Syrian refugee crisis, which mm-hmm. is, from the Swedish government's perspective, they justify the border controls in terms of stemming the flow of migration mm-hmm. and this global crisis, mm-hmm. whereas what your Facebook page has done has opened up a narrative about a very local crisis mm-hmm. of people who trying to get to work, coming mm. home from work, and not just about their commute, but also about regional integration between mm. Denmark and Sweden and the Øresunds region. So what do Swedes tend to post on your page about this single issue? Is it mostly venting anger, or do you find some deliberative debate among users?
Ooh, I think I'm very impressed by the users, I must say. Because, I mean, we, as you said, the issue, of course, the biggest issue at hand is the refugee crisis. And as you said, Sweden has taken about 150,000 refugees last year. And the majority of those are not from Syria. They're from Afghanistan, Eritrea, and many other countries. So there's a big issue about that. And we have nationalists, etc. And to be sure that we could gather a following about the local problem and to actually get these problems away, I and the Center Party are the most like open border party in Sweden, together with the so like a leftist party. But if we took that stance into our page, then perhaps half of our followers wouldn't be there.
Mm-hmm.
So we've taken that part of it away. So we've been very clear about that from the beginning, that all right, whether you think Sweden should be setting up borders internally or not, to keep out people and should take less refugees, this is still the wrong solution. And that's so like that's the basic we've had. I am very engaged in so like the refugee question in many other areas, but in this area it's just about the ID controls that destroys this region. So that's very important to separate. And when we see that people give comments that about, well, it's perfect because then at least we don't have any refugees. Of course, that kind of comments. The users are very, very clear on that's not the issue. It's not about that. Mm-hmm. Whatever you think about that, it's not the issue. It's still a stupid solution. So we have a lot of self-control, a lot of people following. And we saw the only rule we have is that if you use language that is not appropriate, or if you call other people names or stuff like that, then we'll take you away.
So you actively moderate the page.
And it's like if you have opposing views, so if you think the ID control should be there, fine. You're absolutely allowed to say that, of course. We like the debate. And our users are very clear on why that is the wrong view to have in this group. So there's a lot of users that are very active. And what we have is also a lot of people posting on our page themselves. Of course, that doesn't gain the same traction as we do with our post, because that's how the metrics work. But it is open, so people can post. And we have
in the side visible
box.
Yeah, exactly. And I've seen that you share
some of them.
Okay. Yeah.
Not all of them, but some of them. Because there's a lot of, there are analytics, and I mean there are people that are very analytic that I've written about, so like consequences, etc. And there are people who have created infographics, so stories about how it is to commute over the bridge, etc. So we share some of those stories because we've been clear about that. This is not about us. This is about the people traveling mostly. And their views are the most important ones. And there will never be a time where I'm the smartest one. So it's good to have all the other smart guys around.
Now, what about private messages? Because, it says that you respond within a few hours. What are you responding to?
Right now, it's not a question about the litigation against the government, of course. But otherwise, it's great job you're doing, a lot of that. Otherwise, it's questions or dialogue about what do you think will happen. Quite a few people, especially in the beginning, there's a lot of question about the practicalities. Do you think I will get back home if I only have a driver's license, etc.? There's a lot of that. So we were we were a customer service for the government. In many ways, because nobody knew where to go to, because there was no information from the government, because they didn't, as I said, they didn't have a plan. There was no plan behind it, so it just did like that, and they didn't know how to handle it at all. So they winged it, which I can appreciate many times. But when you change people's every day, it's good to have a little bit of planning.
And what about when I was looking at your page yesterday, I saw one comment in English from an American. So how transnational is your page? Is it relatively common to get comments from outside of Sweden?
There's a few people who are in this region, like you, students working here, etc., who are active as well.
Because you have Lund close by, which is a huge university for international students.
Exactly, yeah. And there's a lot of... I mean, this is a rather international region as well. We have a lot of immigrants, etc., so there are a few people there who are not good at Swedish either. And then, of course, there are a lot of Danes affected by that. Also, a lot of Danes have moved to Sweden to buy cheaper housing, but still be able to work in Denmark. And, of course, some of those write in Danish, and that's fine as well. So we do not... We do not moderate that in any way, but we appreciate all sorts of messaging. Once I've taken away an Arabic statement, because from the Google translation, it seemed that it wasn't a relevant. It was not about the pages or some kind of spam, I believe. But I do not speak the language, so it felt a bit sad to take it away, since I wasn't sure. But it really seemed like spam, so I took it away. Right. Otherwise, we're very open about what's allowed.
Okay. And you touched a little bit on this before, and this page is about the people. And facilitating communication among citizens is one of social media's great opportunities for democracy, right? Mm-hmm. And but we've also seen how social media can have a direct impact on politics, whether it's through organizing protests or through toppling governments in extreme cases like the Arab Spring. So are you using the Facebook page to drive any initiatives that would formally put pressure on the Swedish government to accomplish your aims and end the border controls?
Absolutely. For instance, now, when we are litigating against the government, we have... Again, Swedish system, Justitiekanslern. It's a person with an crowd around him or her, of course, that so like has to write see if the government's legislation is valid or legally valid. But you have to, so like you have to bring your case to her. It's not like it's not just necessarily sees if it's good. There's also something called log order. It's like the it's like the law council that has already said that this is shitty government. Like this law that is behind this is very, very poorly written because it was so fast and it doesn't live up to the rules in Sweden. And the Justitia Council has also said that this is not a good piece of work and it might not be legal. So we're going to put a case to her, to that institution, based on it being illegal according to the Schengen agreement that you were talking about before, which might, all might not know, is a piece of legislation in the EU that most EU member countries, but not all, have ratified, that says that EU, that the members of the European Union are allowed to travel freely across borders. And what the Swedish government did when they posted these controls in Denmark, which is not, you are allowed to put up borders inside your countries for a temporary period of time, but to put them on another place and to put the responsibility on the transport companies, which they did, because it's not government officials standing there, it's a private company hired by the train companies.
Right.
That the Chechen government asked to do that once, and the EU Commission said they were not allowed to do that. But now Sweden didn't ask because they probably knew that they were going to get a no. So we know that that it's, according to the EU Commission, it's not legal according to European law to do what the Swedish government did. So that means that the Swedish government has violated our European and as such citizen rights. And we're going to litigate again about that. So we have about 1,000 people now going in this mass, this group action, I think it's called in the US, against the government. And we hope to, our case is that we should get about 30,000 kronas for every person. It's not that much amount of money.
Like a class action.
Yeah, class action case. Okay.
And how does the Facebook page tie into that? Have you
We have made people sign. Yeah, exactly. We have pushed it into the people because there you know how to reach people. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had a way to reach these people easily. This meant that with very little manpower, we could get 1,000 people to sign on to be part of this. So now we have the papers at the people. They sort of like set up how were you affected, and then we need your emails. We can get in touch with you. So now we've sent some documents they have to fill out physically and sent to us, which will be free for them, together with the Chamber of Commerce here, because they're also very upset with this because they're pro free trade. So hopefully we'll get about 1,000 people to have this to start. Probably, I would believe, this the largest class action suit against the Swedish government ever. And of course, it's not about the money, because the government doesn't care about that. It's so little money anyways. But it's about getting a legal print on this is illegal. What you've done is illegal. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, we are a very... it's a proper country. So, I mean, you do not want to do in the government... have a stamp on you that you've been told that what you do is illegal and keep doing it. That would not be in any way according to Swedish tradition. So you probably so we expect them to stop if that is what will happen. And just the fact that we get there and they'll know that it's quite possible that they lose might we believe that will affect how they're going to treat the entire control question, because they have to make a new decision in November. And that's when the papers will be delivered.
And last question, which is when that comes in November, your page will be coming up on about 1 year, right?
Yeah, we started on December 23rd.
So what are your thoughts about the future of the page? Is it sustainable going into the future? And if you accomplish your mission and end the border controls, would you somehow use the base that you've acquired to further your interests in terms of this Skåne, Stockholm power conflict, I guess, that you have?
We probably will. And that's a very good question. And that's why also from the beginning that we've actually had this two-sided approach. And but it's hard to know if the engagement will keep up, because there are, it's very clear that we have like some people that are just cared about their commute, that is very troubling at the moment, and they some of them have had to change jobs or quit their jobs and stuff like that. And then there are a lot of people who are very engaged in the Stockholm question, but it's not always the same people. So if we saw, like, if the one problem is solved, it might not be relevant to continue. We do not know that yet, but we saw, like, if the consensus is that it's still relevant to keep fighting for changing the perspective about Stockholm, and we know there's a lot of people around Sweden, colonists, mm-hmm. colonists in all of Sweden, Stockholm, the absolute northern part of Sweden, have written about us when it comes to the Stockholm's perspective. So a lot of people in Sweden are very happy about this question coming up, that we're actually changing the perspective. And there's still a very large need for that. So we might follow up on that, and so like increase the focus on that with us also more examples from outside of Skåne. But we'll see about that. It's not quite sure. I mean, our primary purpose is, of course, to change the idea, the way the ideas are being implemented here.
All right. Well, Nils, thanks. This has been super interesting. And yeah, again, thanks for taking the time out and to share your insights. And best of luck with the revolution.
Thanks.
It'll make my commute to Sweden a lot easier.
Yeah, I'm the first liberal revolutionary.
The voice you've just heard is that of Nils Paarup-Petersen, regional politician for the Swedish Center Party and one of the curators of the Orsons Revolution Facebook page. And to know more about him, you can visit his website at nils.se, that's N-I-E-L-S.se, or follow him on Twitter at Nils Paarup, P-A-A-R-U-P. Big thanks to everyone here at Copenhagen University Radio, editing by Peter Orbeck, and the funky jams you're listening to are produced by Earfunk out of New Orleans. I'm your host, Michael Bassetta. Thanks again for tuning in to the Social Media and Politics Podcast. I'm off to take the train back to Copenhagen, passport in hand. See you.